Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. And hey, you're listening to the Grace for This City podcast. I'm your host, Justin. Hey, we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you biblical strategies and motivation so you can get out there and get the stuff done for your king. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Hey, I'm joined in the studio by our very special guests, Pastor Christina and Pastor Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thanks for being here, guys, on the podcast. Again, of course, they're regulars and super excited about what the Lord's doing in them. And together, hey, we can do more together. Mm-hmm. You know, guys, this is about synergy.
Yes.
Yes.
Synergy. You know, synergy isn't just 1 + 1 = 2. Synergy is 1 + 1 = exponential. It's multiplied efforts. And, you know, the old saying is, you know, you couldn't lift a house by yourself, but you get 100 men and they run those poles. In fact, they've actually done this in Amish communities. They've actually done this. You know, you couldn't move a house with one guy, but you get 100 guys grabbing a pole and they can move, you know, like 30 tons, 50 tons, 100 tons, whatever it is, seemingly with little to no effort. That's synergy. It's supernatural. And so we're taking advantage of that on the podcast, but that is also working through the podcast as well. We're helping you, friend. There's synergy here. And you can tap into the graces and the anointings that are on us to benefit what God is doing in you. And we'd love to hear what the Lord is doing in your life. If you've been blessed, encouraged, challenged, irritated, or annoyed in any way, hey, reach out to us, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Send us an email. Love to hear from you. Or call us, 870-741-9099.
I guess I shouldn't have raised my hand when you said irritated.
Yeah, right. We'll send an email, Bob.
That was wrong timing there.
Send an email. All complaints will be forwarded to Bob. So, okay.
and Pastor Christina, too, because she's the one that's here all the time.
Synergy. You guys can tackle it together. Praise the Lord. Well, hey, we got a great episode planned for you today, and we're releasing our faith right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for helping us. Lord, I know there are people listening. They've been listening. They've been tuned in, Father, and these are strategies from heaven. Lord, you're helping your body. You're helping your people. And Father, there is a kingdom mandate, and you've enlisted us into that army. And so, Father, we're going to finish your work. Hallelujah. And we thank you for the help. We thank you for the strategy, Father. We thank you for that biblical revelation opening up to us, coming alive in our hearts so that faith may come. Father, we can move forward in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're listening, everybody that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so we are in part 7 of a series that we've been in. We've been talking about the authority of the believer. And today, specifically, we are going to talk about the armor. And I've titled this, Put on the Armor. And so we're going to jump into this today, and it is imperative that you have your armor on. Listen, if you're going to be enlisted in the battle, and the language of the scriptures has a lot of that military type language to it, that analogy, that perspective. Paul was telling Timothy that you need to endure hardship like a good soldier. And there's training, there's weaponry, there's armor, there's strategy, there's tactic. And so, you know, these are all things that are going to help you, help us move forward and advance the kingdom, but, you know, not just advance, but also to protect ourselves so that we can finish our race. This is about finishing, too. And so today we're going to kind of zero in on the armor. Excuse me. And I want to start by reading.
Yep, before you do that.
Oh, Bob's got, yeah,
what you got, Bob? I just want to say something about this armor. You know, this is, the armor is listed in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 6. And this book was written to the church. It was written to the body of Christ. It was written to Christians. And this armor is not for everybody out there. It was designed with a purpose for the Christian.
That's a good point.
And if you are not a Christian, if you have never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, this armor, you can read it, you can pretend you're putting it on, but you won't have any foundation underneath it. You need to be born again. You need to repent of your sins. You need to come to Jesus and say, I need you as the Lord of my life. When you get born again, you can wear this armor.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to be encouraged today, as I hope you guys are, to get our armor on, and let's get into its function. I'm going to read something out of this book. It's The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan. Now, this was originally compiled in 1932. Of course, it's been reprinted several times. But he's got a section in here called The Panoply of God. And word for the day is panoply.
Yeah.
What is panoply? It's a complete or impressive collection of things or a splendid display. And so he titles this section The Panoply of God or The Splendid Display, The Complete and Impressive Collection of Something. So we're going to talk about the armor. And this is a display, a complete display or a collection of the armor. And he says, the only place of safety is the occupation of the seat. And we're jumping in here. So he's been talking about taking your seat or your place with Christ. Of course, when the Father raised the head, Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, he raised the body. And he seated us with Christ in heavenly places. That's the seat that he's referring to there. It's our seat of operation, really. It's our place from which we have access to by being born again. And it's a place of ruling and reigning. It's a place of authority. We find our identity there. That's where we're seated after being born again. And there's something here. Let me see if I can find it. I don't want to get off track here, but let me see if I can find something. This just came to me. This is real time. This is off the notes here, folks. help me find it, Lord. Okay, so in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So once we're born again, our place of origin shifts. We're no longer natural, earthbound. No, we are born from above, the Bible says. Okay, born of the Word, Peter says. Born from above, the heavenly Jerusalem is now our point of origin. It's now our location. It's our place of citizenship. Now, what I wanted to bring out in this verse is that the word citizenship is the Greek word that we get the word politics from. Or we could say it like this, our seat of government. Listen, when you were born again, and praise God, you're born again, and now you got your happy place. You're in your happy place. Okay, fine. But there's something more to that. We've taken on the nature now of our head. We've taken on the nature of the body in which we were born into, placed into, positioned and appointed into. And he is a king. He is about rule and reigning, ruling and reigning. He is about authority. He is about life and freedom. And so when we're born again, our place of operation has shifted. We have now taken our seat or our citizenship, or now our politics come from heaven, our operation. And it's governmental terms here. And so just want to throw that in there because this is not just about being passive. And I know right now things are crazy. Everybody is going fleshy and carnal and earthy in their politics and their politicking. And it's getting nasty. And people are harassing people, mocking people, demeaning people, slandering people based on what they perceive as political ideals. But listen, we're political in this sense. We're born again into a king's dominion, into a king's domain. we're not categorized by Democrat or Republican, Libertarian, Communist, whatever. We are now a member of the King's domain, and it's about the King's agenda. Our politics and our operation of government stem from that place right there. And this is where it gets crazy, because the enemy hates this. He knows that the heavenlies is established on justice and judgment. There is governmental rule. And the enemy hates this. And so obviously there's a lot, and we're not going to take time in this podcast to look at various ways that this gets all twisted and turned. But I just want to encourage you not to go low, not to stay earthbound in your politics. You got to come up to your seat. You got to operate from your seat with Christ Jesus, the head of all things, and take your cues on governmental things from that perspective, all right? And so he's talking about here that we must occupy our seat. It's the only safe place to be. It is far above the enemy, he says. If the believer abides steadfastly by faith in this location, he cannot be touched. Consequently, the enemy puts forth all his wiles to draw him down in spirit. For once out of his seat, his authority is gone, and he is no longer dangerous, and further, he is open to attack. If you're watching us live, I'm reading from this book right here, The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan. Now, we're going to talk about the armor, but why do you need the armor? Well, because you were placed, appointed, born again into a seat of government in the heavenly places. A position of rule and reigning. But you have an enemy, a very rebellious enemy, one that refuses to submit, one that refuses to be truthful. He's the father of lies, and he has set himself in opposition against the Most High, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, and he has set himself in opposition to the saints of the Most High. Those, you and I, if you're born again, who have been placed into a seat of rule and reigning of kingship. All right? Now, if he can get you out of that seat, you're no longer effective, and you're open to attack. That's what I'm saying. Don't get down in the natural realm. Don't get down in the fleshy, earthy, the carnal realm. If you get out of your place in the spirit, you're going to be open for attack. At this point, he goes on to say, is seeing the meaning of the message of Ephesians chapter 6. And if you're familiar with the scriptures, you understand Ephesians 6 is where he's talking about the armor. He says, to maintain his place against the wiles of the devil, the believer must be constantly arrayed in full armor. The different parts of this armor symbolize certain spiritual attitudes which he must maintain. Listen, the armor represents spiritual attitudes. It is most important to understand that the armor itself, when worn, constitutes the protection of the believer and not his activity against the foe. Fully harnessed, he is fully kept and is unhampered in his ministry of authority. All that he need be concerned about is, like a good soldier, to keep his armor bright and well secured about him. Let us note briefly the meaning of the various parts of the panoply. No item can be omitted. Now, I'm going to go through this, and then we're going to get Christina and Bob to, you know, share some of their thoughts as well, because we've all been looking into this. I'm just kind of laying the intro. I'm putting out the opening here, and then we'll discuss this. But we're going to go briefly over the different parts here. There is, number one, the girdle of truth. This is Ephesians 6:14. Christina, can you read that, please? And while she's looking that scripture up, I want to say this, because we were talking a little bit before we went live on the podcast today, and we were talking about what is the enemy doing. Listen, he knows to some extent. He knows the end of the story.
Sorry, 6:14.
6:14. He knows the end of the story, and we also know, the Bible tells us in John that the darkness cannot overcome the light. This is a eternal truth. There's no dark switch in your house. There is only the light switch. And in order for darkness to invade that space, what has to happen? The light has to be turned out. So listen, what is the enemy doing? Let's understand his strategies. Don't be ignorant to the devil's devices. If you are, then he can take advantage of you. What's he trying to do? He's got to get you. Jesus said you were the light of the world. The enemy has to get you to remove or hide your light. He can't just come out and snuff the light out. Darkness has no power to do that. It is impossible for darkness to overwhelm the light. Just the opposite. It's light that overwhelms darkness. And that little song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine," hide it under a bushel, what? No.
No.
I'm going to let it shine. Listen, what the enemy's trying to do is he's trying to get you to be ashamed of your light. He wants you to remove your light. He wants you to be beat down, wore out, slandered, ridiculed, and mocked to the point that you'll say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Let me hide my light under a bushel so it doesn't blind you." This is where you're going to have to be suited up. You're going to have to know what your protections are, because as the nature of light is designed to do, God is going to put you up on a high place in a very dark environment so the light can shine forth. Can't be afraid of the dark, friends. You got to let your light shine. All right, read that. Ephesians 6:14.
Okay. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Okay. Having the girdle of truth. Okay. The clear understanding of God's word. What is the girdle of truth? The clear understanding of God's word, which, like a soldier's belt, holds the rest of the armor in place. Praise the Lord. Number two, Christina, read 6:14 again.
Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, he goes on to say, he said, as you know, a lot of people quote that or state it as that that's put on the righteousness of Christ. But he says, no, rather, it is the active obedience to the word which we have received. The breastplate of righteousness is active obedience to the word that we have received. Number three, Ephesians 6:15.
And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
He says this, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is the faithful ministry in heralding the word. The faithful ministry in heralding the word. We could say it like this. Your consistent and constant awareness to proclaim the truth of the scriptures and not just your own opinions. Hallelujah. All right, number four, Ephesians 6:16.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
I really like what he says here. He says this is a large door-shaped shield which covers the whole body, which indicates complete refuge under the blood of Calvary where no power of the enemy can penetrate. Ephesians 6:17.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
The sword of the Spirit, which shows the word of God, used in an active sense, even as the girdle shows it in a defensive one. Well, that's cool. And then he says number 7, 6:18.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints.
All prayer. you know, growing up, most people didn't include that I was aware of.
Yeah.
I like how he included that thought here, that part of our armor is all prayer. You know, there's different kinds of prayer. Different kinds of prayer. So keep that in mind. He says, this is the training of the faculties Godward by constant approach to God. Now I'm going to read this last paragraph, and then we'll jump in here and get Christina and Bob to weigh in on this thought today. But he says this, the emphasis in chapter 6 is laid on victory. Note the following paraphrase, which brings out the full force of verse 13. And paraphrasing, wherefore, take up with you to the battle the whole armor of God, that you may be able to successfully withstand in the evil day, and having overthrown all foes, I love that, to remain unshaken. And he finishes with this thought. I think I read this in the last podcast where we were talking about the believer's authority. There is no suggestion of defeat. Secure within his armor, the believer may disregard the enemy and give his entire attention to the exercise of the ministry to which he has been called. Listen, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He said, you are salt. With the armor on, we can get out there and do what we need to do, have disregard for the enemy. Why? Because we're safe and secure in our armor. And we can stand out there in the dark place, letting the light shine and be unafraid for what the enemy might do, because we're safe, protected in our armor. Guys, what do you got?
Bob?
Well, to start with, I'm one of those word people. I like to look at words. I will take these verses. I break them down by word. I look them up. And this whole section begins in chapter 6, verse 10. And the first word is finally. Now, that word there, it doesn't mean least. It's not the least of things that you have to do. It's the one thing that a soldier does before he goes in the battle. He puts on his armor. He's been prepared beforehand. He's been trained. But he's finally going to put on his armor. He's getting ready to step out.
Hmm.
The other thing that I find in verse 10, there's three words, pivotal words to me. There's the word strong, there's the word power, and the word might.
Oh, that's good.
And Paul uses these three similar words that describe our Lord and his authority. Power, to strong, power, and might. The word used for strong means empowered. You, my fellow soldiers, brethren, are empowered by the Lord. That's what Paul is telling us. The word used for power means with great vigor and dominion. So he's saying, you, my fellow soldiers, are empowered by the Lord with a lively dominion or the sovereign right of the king.
Ooh,
and
that's good.
Finally, the word used for might means forcefulness, ability, and strength. It is an accompanying power and force. So if I was to take this and translate it in my own words, I would say, moreover, on top of all that I've written to you in this letter regarding how you should live, you, my fellow soldiers, are empowered by the Lord with the sovereign right of the king, which includes his accompanying abilities, strength, and power.
Wow. That's good stuff.
Wow. Amen.
Thank you. It's God wrote it.
Listen, so you've been empowered, he said, by the, say that phrase one more time, you've been empowered by the sovereign right of the king.
By the sovereign right of the king, which includes his accompanying abilities, strength, and power. You know, when a soldier is out there, he's not out in the battlefield by himself. He's out there with the soldiers next to him. When Satan looks at us, he should not see an individual soldier. He should see God standing in front of him.
Wow.
That's good.
Wow. You know, that goes back, Bob, to some of the thoughts in some of the previous episodes on this thought, is that we are one with Christ.
Yes, yes.
And we should be hidden in him. It shouldn't be, you know, the Bob show, the Christina show, the Justin show. Oh, look how, you know, talented we are with our weapons. You know, we can spin it around like a baton or something. No, we should be hidden in Christ. We are so one with him, his mission, his mandate, his agenda, his will, that we don't stand out as an individual. We stand united with him as part and parcel of his body. We're fluid with him. We're in one, we're in sync with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What you got?
The Lord had just reminded me of something. We were talking about the armor years ago, and there's a gentleman that we all know, Peter Lemcher, and the Lord had given him some wisdom on the word stand.
Mm-hmm.
And he had talked about, I don't know if it's a Roman soldier or if it was another country, but their uniform, and in their uniform, in their boots, they had like a, I don't know if it's a knife or what, coming out the back of their boot.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. In battle, they would kick back with it, and it would keep them from going back any further. And so that really just gave me a real good picture in my mind. You do all these things, and then you stand. You stand. You don't get moved, because Jesus has done everything, provided everything, and now I'm going to stand, and I'm not going to get pushed back any further. That's it. Taking my ground. Taking my stand. So anyway, that just stuck out to me.
Well, your confidence then in the ground that you're standing upon, the location, the mandate, the assignment, whatever it is you're standing for, when you've locked that, whatever that's called, but that spike type thing, when you've locked that in the ground, your confidence in your stand, because, well, you're suited up.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of, and that's back in the Old West when we were settling this country, and they would go out, the military, and they would build forts. Mm-hmm. They built a fort. They put a wall around it and stuff. They took a stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They said, we're here. We ain't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes they did, but, I mean, it was a stand that they took. They planted themselves in that position.
Hmm. So, as a believer, and as a believer that's on assignment, are you taking your stand? Have you locked yourself into what God's called you to? And if you haven't, the question is, well, why haven't you? Are you not secure in where you're positioned? Well, why wouldn't you maybe be secure? Well, do you have your armor on? I mean, if you're confident in your armor, if you are confident that you are protected, then the stand is easier. To know that if something were to be flung at you, thrown at you, like a fiery dart, say, if you're confident in the shield, then you would be confident standing out there, guarding, protecting, being unmovable, steadfast in your confession, steadfast in your operation. You'll be confident if you know that the shield is effective. Are you confident that God's armor that he has revealed to us is effective against the wiles of the enemy?
Well, you know that word, he said, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word able comes from the Greek word dunamai, and it's the same word where we get dunamis, where we derive our word dynamite or dynamo. We are taking an active, accelerated stand against this. And the other thing we got to realize, what are we standing against? We're standing against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, the wiles, it means method. As a noun, it refers to a devious or cunning stratagem employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what one wants. And I got a note here. I got in 2 Chronicles 20:15, it reads, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That's why we can stand. The battle is God's, and God has not changed.
Wow. You know, I was looking back in this book here, and this is Kenneth Hagin's The Believer's Authority. I was talking about that the enemy will resist your interference in his sphere because he's exercising authority over the powers of the air, and he wants to continue to do so. When you interfere with Satan's kingdom by exercising your spiritual authority, he will attack you in an attempt to get you to back down from using that authority. Now, our point of impact with the principalities and the powers of the air, demons, our point of impact has to do with the king's will. Jesus said, "Thy will be done." He said, when you pray, pray like this: "Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven." So our point of impact with opposition, resistance, whatever, is when we have been commissioned to advance the will of the Father, in particular as it regards people, because he desires that none should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So our point of impact comes when we're advancing the will of the Heavenly Father. By the way, remember, we're seated, okay, our citizenship, our politico, our politics, our seat of government is from the very highest place of position, power, authority, understanding, etc. We get our marching orders there. That's where the will of the Father is being expressed. And when we take that revelation knowledge of his will, we take that down into this realm. Well, this is where the enemy's like, "Hey, wait, no. I don't want you doing that." And he's going to try and resist you. He's going to try and stop you. He's going to come against you. This is where the armor, you got to be confident in that armor, because you are standing in your place, wherever that may be. You got your orders. You got your command. You got your instructions from your seat, the place of highest government. But that will is being advanced in the earth realm. So you're in an area, a geographical area, a region, a territory, wherever God specifically has called you. You have revelation knowledge of the will of the Father. But there's an enemy whose place of operation is lower than yours, but yet it's still an operation of authority over people who are trapped in darkness and in bondage. Anyway, so that's where the encounter comes. And so you're standing in a territory, in a region, you've got instructions, and you are standing your ground. Well, the enemy's going to try and come and stop you. He doesn't want your light to be shown. He doesn't want salt to be shared, to preserve. He doesn't want that healing anointing to be administered. He doesn't want blind eyes to be opened, deaf ears to be healed. He doesn't want to see people's marriages restored. He doesn't want to see things twisted, made right. So he's going to come against you. But the armor allows you to hold fast. The armor allows you to stand against the wiles. It allows you to stand in that territory, in that region, holding the will of the Father, the mandate of the Father. It allows you to stand, continuing to declare the clear and precise word of the Lord. And though all this opposition may be coming against you, the armor allows you to stand strong, stand firm, unmoved. How did John A. McMillan say it? Let me get back to that thought there. He said this particular word. Let me get that word. Secure within his armor, the believer may disregard the enemy and give his entire attention to the exercise of the ministry to which he has been called. You've been called to that region, to that territory. safe and secure in your armor, you can disregard the wiles of the enemy and steadily, consistently advance the will of the Father in that area. Hallelujah. So we need to allow the Holy Ghost to just bring a fresh revelation, a fresh understanding, fresh confidence in the armor that we've been given. And like Bob, you said this, no good soldier wakes up in the morning and rushes out in his underwear. What do they call that in military? Underwear?
Skivvies or...
Skivvies or whatever it's called. I think you're issued some military underwear, aren't you? What I'm saying is no good soldier wakes up and just rushes out and thinks that he's going to go do his job, be effective, stand against, you know, the weapons of the enemy, and have left his armor behind. No, one of the first things he does is he's going to suit up. Before he goes out to war, before he goes out to battle, he's going to suit up.
Just like a firefighter.
They wake up
in the middle of the night. The first thing they do is put their feet into their boots and pull their trousers up.
It's like clockwork.
They're running out the door, prepared and ready.
Bob, Christina, I think some people have just gotten so used to just waking up and running out there naked before the enemy. You left your boots. You left your belt. You didn't grab your shield. You're not putting your armor on. You don't got truth with you. Remember what Jesus said? He said, take my truth and bind it to yourself. Bind it. Wrap it around you. Tie it to you. Now, we're not talking about literally tying the Bible. You know, what we're talking is you're taking his word. You're taking the truth, and it's a part of your weapon or your armor. Excuse me.
It's all spiritual.
It's all spirit. Yeah, there's literally not a helmet that I'm... Yeah. I didn't put on a helmet this morning.
Right.
Okay. And in fact, I didn't even put on boots. I'm wearing tennis shoes, okay? But the point is that these spiritual things, they're right there. You don't leave home without them. Mm-hmm. You're not rushing off somewhere without it. And I think that's a lot of the church's problem. We've grown cold to the reality of what these things do. We've lost confidence, maybe, in them. Listen, I think that firefighter, let's just say, for whatever reason, that there was an emergency, and he just jumped up, totally forgot his suit. I think only one time getting burned, and I think he would be like, wait a second.
Yeah, oops.
Yeah, oops, I need to make sure that I've got
this on. Just sliding down the pole would be hard.
That's right.
Wouldn't even get out of the building, and you'd realize you're missing it.
Exactly, exactly. But a lot of believers are doing that. Listen, you're rushing out there, and you're getting hurt. And then you've got this pity party saying, oh, God doesn't love me. God didn't protect me. No. Listen. He's provided for you, okay? It was part of your enlistment package that you got the armor. You got the boots, the belt, the shield, the helmet, the sword, the breastplate. Listen, you've got to put value back in that. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we're not talking about a natural something we wear. These are spiritual things. Notice the spiritual implications again. And Bob, you might have some to add here, Christina.
Well, he says not to battle against flesh and blood. We're not in a battle against people.
Yeah.
They may look like an enemy, but they are not our enemy. Mm-mm. Our enemy is in a spiritual realm behind them, activating them, moving them towards whatever direction that enemy wants them to go.
And I know that makes it a little more difficult because you just want to kind of like, you know, punch some people in the face. For being a punk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they're not our problem.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
There are, like the Leviathan spirit, okay? What is that? What is the Leviathan strategy? It's delusion. It's systematic delusion. That is a tactic of the enemy. What is delusion? Well, delusion, ultimately, the definition of delusion is the resistance to confrontation with truth. Delusion, the resistance of confrontation with truth. And there are spirit, dark spirits, enemy forces that have worked with people, worked with cultures over long periods of time even, and has deceived them into resisting a confrontation with truth. Well, what's truth going to do? To know truth, to receive truth, truth will set you free. But the enemy wants people bound, deceived, delusioned, okay, where they fight against truth. The person in the natural is not the problem. They're symptoms of the problem. But they're the point that the warfare is over because people are created in the image of God. The enemy hates God, hates people who are created in his image and likeness. And so the battle is over, has to do with people and locations and places. But they're not where we, they're not the point of impact. The point of impact is the spiritual forces that are behind the scenes. And so we're not literally putting on natural pieces of equipment or armor. Now, if you're in the military, then, you know, obviously if you are engaging on a natural realm, then you want to put on certain forms of armor before you go out to a war. But we're talking about from the spiritual standpoint here, these are not physical pieces. They're not metal. They're not made out of leather. They're not plastic. These are spiritual realities. Now, let's look at this real quick. He talks about, and I went through this, but let's look at this one more time. The girdle of truth. Okay, what is that? Well, it's the understanding of God's word. That is armor.
Right.
To not understand God's word would be to open yourself up to be attacked. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:3, that he upholds all things by the word of his power, meaning all of his power is in his word. Mm-hmm. But your lack of understanding of that truth right there will cause you to be vulnerable. To know his word, to know the word, to know what God has said is going to put you in a position of victory. So, I mean, he starts out number one. You've got to have an understanding of God's word. Now, guys, what's a practical way here? What's a practical way to grow in our understanding of God's word?
Well, regularly reading it would be really good.
Hello. So to not stay in the word would be acting foolishly, running about your day and your life without putting your armor on.
Right.
Yes.
All right, what's another one? What's another practical way of getting a clear understanding of God's word?
Bob?
Boy, you dropped the basket here, and I'm trying to go through things to fill that basket up. Besides reading the word, spending time in prayer in his presence.
Yes.
You know, if we are made in the image of God, then we need to be in his presence to see what that image looks like. I mean, we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to look like Jesus. We need to act like Jesus. We need to talk like Jesus, mm-hmm. who was a reflection of the Father.
I love it. Get in his word, read the word, meditate on his word, think about the word. Then spend time with him. Jesus is the word. Spending time with him, fellowshipping with him. Listen, demons would love to fellowship with you. Jesus, even more so. Take your pick. Spend time with him. Spend time with him. Get close to him. Come up to him. Sit at his feet. Invite his presence to come in and be changed. All right, number two. So we're talking about this is not metal. Of course, I would totally enjoy having one of those classic suits of armor. Mm-hmm. And I've looked at different times, you know, and I'm just not prepared to spend that kind of money right now at this point. But, man, it would be totally awesome to have that as a reminder, okay, about the reality of being protected, having something on that would stop something else, p- penetrating my body, like a knife or a sword or a bullet. You know, there's something neat about a bulletproof vest. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, bullets are, you know, powerful and strong, but yet a bulletproof vest can stop many forms of bullets. There's something neat about that. That reality that even in the natural, there are things that we could put on, if need be, that would protect us against things from taking our life. Well, that same appreciation, that's why I was saying I kind of would like to have a suit of armor, because to look at that and remind myself, as that would protect me in the natural, there are things that God has given me that will protect me spiritually and naturally also. And number two, like the breastplate of righteousness. Now listen, I want to go over these because, again, this isn't metal. It's not leather. It's not woodwork. You know, as cool as that suit of armor is, like that classical, you know, suit of armor, as cool as that is, we're not talking about chainmail. We're not talking about, you know, precision hammered alloys. We're talking about the things God has given us. They're not natural, but they are mighty. They are spiritual. They are real. They will protect you. So the breastplate of righteousness, what is that? It is the active obedience to the word that you have received. What is the word that you have received? It's the word you know, beyond of a shadow of a doubt. You know that you know that you know. God said, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, whatever. But it's the revealed word. It's the word that you have in your heart, that's hidden in your heart, that's been revealed to you. What is putting on that breastplate of righteousness? What's your armor? Doing what you know to do. Listen, you can't do what somebody else is supposed to do just because they said, well, do this. Like, it's got to be real to you. I'm not saying that you don't listen to advice. I'm not saying that you don't take instruction. But what I'm saying is, someone just says, hey, this is what I'm supposed to do, so you should do it too. Well, you need to take that. You need to go before the Lord and in relationship. You need to have the living word minister to you on that thing. And if the living word ministers that to you, then that becomes the word that you have received. And you can act in that word. You can obey what you know to be revealed from Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and the Heavenly Father. And if you act according to what you understand, the Bible says that's protection for you. Do you understand that? I mean, does that make sense, guys?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you know, what you know of the Scriptures, if you will do that, the Bible says that becomes a breastplate of righteousness. It becomes protection for you. When the enemy comes against you, say, hey, wait, 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 bro, back up, man. I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And the Bible says that's protection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's not our righteousness.
No.
That is God's righteousness. That is, yes, Jesus' righteousness. In Isaiah 64, 6, the prophet wrote, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Here in Ephesians, Paul is telling us to gird and cover our filthy rags, or as I see it, my filthy rags are waste with his truth. We take his righteousness, we put it on, because ours is useless.
That's great. Jesus is perfect obedience. You do as Jesus leads, and you are putting on his righteousness. That's protection, friend. That is armor. Doing what you know to do is armor. Oh, the enemy hates that too. When you persist, he's going to try and argue you. He's going to try and argue you out of it. But when you persist and say, no, the word says, when you say, no, this is what I've been told. Nope, he said. We faced a battle in 2018, and I caught myself just regularly saying, Jesus, you said, you said,
yes,
you said. I'm not doing this because Justin wanted to. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this because Jesus said to do this, and that became protection for me. That became armor. That became something I could stand in, stand within, and hold my ground.
Well, in recognizing that you said, so it's your job, sir, to provide. It's your job, Lord, to take care of all the details. I'm just going to keep standing in it, and you're gonna fight my battle. You're not going to let me
in. The battle is the
Lord's. You're not going to let me die here on this hill.
Thank you, Christina.
You're going to fight for me.
That needed to be said. That needed to be said. I'm protected. He's fighting my battle. This breastplate of righteousness, me doing what he said do, is my protection. He's fighting this. I'm protected. Enemy's not going to touch me because I'm doing the last thing that I knew he said do, and I'm protected.
That's good.
Yes.
Jesus, thank you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That's for somebody. You need to know that. You're not out there alone. You are protected because you're doing the last thing he said for you to do. All right, number three. We'll go get through these, and I think we'll wrap this up. Number three, the feet, which are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is armor. What is this armor? Faithful ministry in heralding the word of the Lord, or heralding of the word. What is armor? In the right place, the right time. Sharing the good news, being faithful, consistent in what? Being a minister of reconciliation. Mark 16, when he said go, all the different passages where he commissioned us to go, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Luke 4, 18 and 19, where he talks about the anointing that's on the body. What is your armor? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your faithful and consistent forward movement in preaching the gospel, declaring the good news, opening your mouth and telling the world, everybody, all creatures, the good news. That's armor. That is armor. We're not talking about metal or leather. That's armor.
You know, in that verse there, it says being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That word shod there, it is hupodeo, which means to bind under one's foot, much like a farrier would do with a horse.
I was thinking that.
They pull up that horse's hoof. They clean it out. They get it ready. They position that horseshoe to go on there, and then they nail it on, you know, so that horse can get traction. That's the same thing that we are supposed to do. We get ourselves in the proper position. We clean ourselves up with God's word, with his truth, with his righteousness, and then we put on these shoes, and we nail them in. Mm-hmm. And the ancient Roman soldiers, they took these straps of leather and they would bind them to their feet, and it would go up most of their calf to hold it in place. And that leather, they would put spikes through the leather pointing down into the ground so they could stand. And it's like you said, they've had a spike on the back where they could dig in their heel if they had to. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. That's what we are supposed to do. Wow. So that we can stand, because we are shod with the gospel of peace.
You know, Bob, you used that there, kind of funny. Just recently, you know, Facebook has that, especially on the Facebook mobile, there's that little icon. It's like watch. You know, if you click on that, it just pulls some random videos. Well, for whatever reason, over the last several weeks, it's been recommending all these videos of farriers, of horse hooves getting cleaned out and reshoed. Mm-hmm. And so I've watched several of them. But it's kind of interesting that you brought that up. But they are working on the hooves of horses. Mm-hmm. and getting them cleaned out. And they have these special tools, you know, and they're shaping and cleaning. But they're putting the shoes back on so the horse can go back to work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of our feet being shod is so that we can get back to work. Listen, yes. So you're not sidelined.
Well, and can I throw in there that on the flip side, if a horse doesn't have the right shoes on, they can get injured to the point of becoming lame and being worthless.
Wow. Yeah.
And so you stay in that, the gospel, you stay in peace so that you can actually accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about pulling you out of the game. You get out of your peace.
Yeah.
And what is that peace? It's the good news. It's that separation between God and man came down, and we can grab hold of what Jesus provided for us.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I just thought of this. Wrong shoes, sprained ankles.
Ooh.
Mm.
We got to get the right. Mm-hmm. We got to get the right thing on our feet.
Yeah,
you know, a horse is able to do more with those horseshoes than he could on just his normal hooves.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and you know, and that's, you know, that's somewhat of an invention of man. But the idea is this: is that with the right shoe on that horse, he's able to do more. Mm-hmm. He's stronger. He'll be able to, you know, there's more production. It protects his hooves, his feet. There's a confidence there that horse has, just like we have when we put our shoes on, you know, that we're not going to stub a toe or, you know, our ankles aren't going to turn weird or whatever. We're able to do more in confidence. Praise the Lord. This is armor. We're talking about armor. Mm-hmm. We're talking about armor. Okay. These are spiritual armor. All right. Now, number four, the shield of faith. Now I like what the New King James says, above all, putting on the shield of faith. Oh, this is so good. This is what John A. McMillan says, the large door-shaped shield covering the whole body. What is that? It's armor, but what is it? It's not leather, it's not metal, it's not wood. What is it? It is our complete refuge under the blood of Calvary. Listen, friend, you got to make big of the blood.
Yes.
Make big of the blood.
Yeah.
And we, the Lord has instructed us that every Sunday we receive communion. And why is that? Because we're making big the blood covenant. We're making big the body that's been portioned, divided for us. We make big the blood covenant. And so I like what John A. McMillan says here. He said, you know, when you take the shield of faith, what are you doing? You're making big the blood of Calvary. And how is that armor? Because it's in the blood that you take your refuge. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. You know, it says, above all, taking up the shield of faith.
Yeah.
Above is an important word there. And most people, we overlook it. We don't realize the nuance behind that. It's the Greek word there for above is epi. The precise nuance of the word is determined by both the context and the grammatical case following it. In this case, the word implies a position of importance.
Wow.
Paul is saying, more importantly, taking the shield of faith. But since this piece of armor is not like the other attached armor previously mentioned, it can also refer to a physical position. In English, we use the word epidermis to talk about our top layer of skin. What does that top layer of skin do? It protects our more sensitive layers underneath it. In this case, epi means above or on top of. It is a layer of skin that protects. Paul used the word epi. He refers to it with an importance and a positional protection that the shield provides. Wow. So that shield is not only an important thing, positionally it must be placed correctly.
Wow.
Bob, that is good stuff right there.
And if you've ever seen any videos of how the Roman soldiers used to fight, when they would march in and they would come up against an enemy or a fortification, they had these body height shields that they would, I think they called it a turtle position. They would bring them all together, and they were behind a wall.
Yeah.
And that shield was Wow, it was powerful. Layers of leather on them that were soaked in water and whatnot. So when fiery arrows would hit them, they'd go out. They meant nothing to them.
Wow. That's good. Above all.
Above all.
Above all. Listen, make big the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the above all. The blood has to be the above all. I like what he was talking about, how he connected those thoughts there. Mm-hmm. And then the helmet of salvation. Once again, we're not talking about a physical, literal helmet. We have, you know, go-karts and four-wheelers and gators and stuff, and so we have some helmets. We're not talking about that. You need to wear a helmet. If you're going to be on a motorcycle, wear a helmet, right? we're not talking about that. We're talking about what is this armor that's protecting our spirit man, and he says that's the helmet of salvation. Elsewhere, it's called the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. What is armor? Your hope in your salvation. It's armor. You know the word.
That's good.
And this is working in conjunction with this hope that's in your heart. You know your Heavenly Father. You know your covenant partner, Jesus. He's not leaving you out here to dry. He's not just strung you out here and forgot about you. He's not called you somewhere and has left you. He said, I will never leave you. He said, I will never, what? Forsake you. What is that? Man, that is hope. I'm doing what he told me to do. Mm-hmm. He's going to come get me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's armor, friend. You need this. You need to stir up your hope that he's not left you. He's not forsaken you. He's going to come back and get you.
Can I put in,
yes,
like
jump
right
in
here, Brother Hagin, a note on his? The hope of salvation is the only helmet able to protect the head in these days of turning from the truth. I mean, I would say right now there's a whole lot of that, a whole lot of people trying to convince you and get you switched from what you've been grounded in, get you to change. You know, well, you know, maybe marriage is between, you know, .. and not just .. You know, it's oh, but they're really nice. They love each other. It must be okay. No.
Yeah.
No, the word of God is the final authority.
So armor is, as he said, it's what?
It's the hope of salvation is the only helmet able to protect the head in these days of turning from the truth.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
One of the interesting things the shield and the helmet, they are not attached pieces of armor like the breastplate was and the belt of truth. They are something that we don't have on all the time. We may not even be holding our helmet on our head.
Mm.
You know, you can watch soldiers and they will hold their hat or their helmet under their arm, maybe in their hand. They may even set it aside.
Right.
But the interesting thing is it's a helmet of salvation.
Mm.
It's what we have already brought upon ourselves, and it doesn't change no matter where we have it.
Oh,
that
wow.
helmet
wow.
is represents a steadfastness and in whose army we're in.
Hallelujah. That's good, Bob. You guys are good, Christina and Bob.
Thanks.
I'm glad you're on the show.
Because of Jesus.
Yes. Only because of him.
We got a couple more here, and we'll wrap this up. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Mm-hmm. Listen, His Word is active. It's alive. It's sharp. Mm-hmm. It will pierce. It will cut. It will divide. That is both armor in the terms of defense, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, I'm thinking, you know, somebody's shooting an arrow, right, which is kind of some of the language here in Ephesians 6, these arrows, these fiery darts. Well, you can take that sword, and with your precise movements of that sword, you could hit that arrow and move it out of the way, cut it, dismantle it, dismember it. So it's both defensive in that sense, but it's also a weapon of offense. Mm-hmm. And very strategic can that word go forth and accomplish its mission and not return void. And then lastly, he says, all prayer. Mm-hmm. All prayer. Now, we've been talking about prayer on the podcast. You can go back in the archives, check out that. But listen, Jesus said this, stay up with me. How do we stay up with him? We stay up with him in prayer. Prayer is also defensive, because when something's hurled at you, you can cast down lying tongues. But it's also offensive as well. So listen, friend, I hope you've been encouraged today. I'm going to give these guys a moment to prepare for some of their final thoughts here. But I hope you've been encouraged today about the armor. You need to make sure you don't leave your home without it. In fact, it's not just about leaving your home. You don't need to go about your day without it. It needs to be one of the first things that you do. And I'm not saying that you are literally going to Ephesians 6 and you read. That's not a bad thing. What I'm saying is that you are constantly aware of the provisions of protection that God has given you. And you're not doing anything without that confidence that what he's called you to do, he's going to protect you in it.
I was just going to say, and you might need to get the Bible, the Ephesians out, and go through it daily until it's something that's just a normal part of your day, just like learning to take your seat regularly. And keep that in your mind. I was thinking about like sleeping, people sleeping, nightmares, that kind of thing. Your armor can be in place as you sleep.
Exactly.
You don't have to technically, you know what I mean? Just live in it.
You live in it.
Just live in it.
You live in it.
So,
well, in closing, I just want to go back to one word that was used earlier in these scriptures, and it was wrestle. And when I studied this, I found that the Greek word that Paul uses for wrestle invokes a violent shaking or vibration to the point that our opponent is thrown down.
Oh.
That's what we are doing. We know what we're dressed up as. We know the truth. We have our righteousness. We got our helmet on, and we're looking at the enemy, and we are shaking him violently until he is thrown down.
Wow.
And I'm reminded of a photograph of Muhammad Ali when he was at the top of his game as a boxer. And there's this one photograph of him standing in the ring. He has knocked his opponent down. I don't remember who it was. That man is laying on the ground, and it looks like he's starting to get up. And Muhammad's standing there with his fist and his gloves, and the look on his face is, stay down.
That's good.
And, of course, he won that fight. But that's our stance towards the devil. We have the right to look at him, shake him down, and say, stay down.
Yeah.
God reigns.
Well, on that note, friend, that's worth repeating right there. Take your place above.
Yes.
Where you're seated, your operation, your governmental operation, your citizenship, your politics, come on, isn't it from a high place? And we can use the will of the Father to advance his will. And we're knocking enemies out. We're casting demons out. And when they want to get back up, we say, stay down. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for joining us today. This has been Grace for This City podcast, where we're helping you turn your city upside down. Scriptural strategies and motivation to help you get things done. How can we help you, friend? How can we pray for you? Call us 870-741-9099. Let us hook up with you in prayer. Let us stand with you in prayer. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're part of a body, part of a body, the body of Christ. And we're here with you. Send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Let us know how we can be in support of what you're doing. Until next time, friend, be blessed. And tell the enemy, stay down.